and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue that I believe is imperative for us to hear, grasp, and understand. Do Americans hungry for the Word of God? Even boiling it down a little more narrow, are Christians hungry for the Word of God? And let's narrow it down a little more. For cross-denominational lines, those that are seated in the pews that call themselves Christians, regardless of the denomination, the question is there a hunger for the Word of God? I have Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps with me, and we're talking about that. And just before the news break, we asked the question, if a person's in the church, claims to be saved, but has no hunger for the Word, no passion for the Word, no interest in hearing the Word, simply want to be entertained, are they saved? Dr. Davis?
Well, it's very simple, Dr. Youngblood. No, they cannot be saved. There's no way that you can be saved and not have an interest in the Word of God. You need the Word, first of all, because the Scripture tells us to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have that, how can your Christian faith ever grow and increase? You have to know how to come in a personal relationship with God, and the only way that you're going to know that is through the Word.
Amen. And one of the things you touched on in relationship to that, I analyze it this fashion. When a baby is birthed, that baby is alive. And a good indication of life, being alive, is being hungry for the milk. Hungry for the milk that sustains that child physically. We are alive, and we are hungry for food that nourishes our body. If a person says, I'm saved, and they're not hungry for the Word, the question is, have they been blood-bought, Bible-saved? Dr. Phelps, I'm going to read just a little brief statement here, let you respond to it. The word hungry, by definition, means having a strong desire, a craving, displaying the need for food. In reality, however, hunger is not just for food, but humans also crave physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual nourishment. So if we are alive in Christ, would that connote the fact that there's a hunger for the Word? But if there's a lack thereof, what should we do? How should we respond? Let me do a little footnote. I've been accused of having elongated questions. A little footnote to that. If that person says they're saved, there's not the hunger, and yet we find multitudes of ministry organizations today talking about discipleship, that one of the problems in our church is we need to disciple people in the Word. Now, that's true. But discipleship comes not necessarily from the one-on-one, but from the pulpit of discipling through the Word of God. If a person is not willing to be, quote, discipled, trained in the Word, is anxious to get out time the clock strikes 12, how should we respond? What should churches do, Dr. Phelps? Well, some churches need to get a spirit-led, spirit-filled pastor,
mm-hmm.
one who loves the Word.
Amen.
And one who wants to preach the Word. I believe that much of the problem is in our pulpits today. People are not taught the truth, and therefore they are backslidden mm-hmm. in many cases. Mm-hmm. They have simply backslid. But I'd like to call your attention to something that happened when Jesus was ministering. In John chapter 6, we have the record of the feeding of the 5,000. And that was a big crowd. That was a big congregation.
That's right.
And a lot of those people, when they saw the miracle that Jesus did, then wanted to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
They followed him across the lake or the Sea of Capernaum, toward Capernaum. And when they found him on the other side, they said, "Oh, when did you come here?" And Jesus didn't answer that question, but he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled."
Mm-hmm.
They had their stomachs filled. They had an appetite for things that would satisfy their physical hunger. And he went on to say, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And they asked him a question then, "What can we do the works of God?" And he said very clearly, "Believe on the Son of God." He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they began to try to change the subject.
That's right.
They said, "Well, what sign do you show?"
It's called deflecting.
And they just seen a big sign. It was a miracle. Miracles and signs and wonders were done by Christ. And, of course, that was only to just get their attention.
That's right.
That he might tell them the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
People need the truth. Later on in the chapter, there were those who brought up the matter of the manna. They said, when Jesus talked about the manna, rather when Jesus talked about the bread of life, the people who were there, especially the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they said, "Well, Moses gave us manna from heaven," as if to place that on the same level with what Jesus had done.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, "Well, maybe Moses is a better prophet than yourself." But Jesus told them that the true bread comes from heaven,
Amen.
Not from a man,
Absolutely.
Not from Moses.
Absolutely.
And in that chapter, there were those then who listened to what he said. He talked about saying words like this, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." And he talked about his being the living bread.
Living bread, absolutely.
And see, the scriptures are the written word or the written bread, but he's the living bread. The scriptures direct us to partake of the living bread.
Absolutely.
And we partake of him, of the person of Christ, when we believe. We partake by believing.
Mm-hmm.
A person partakes of bread, literal bread, by eating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the parallel.
Absolutely.
So when Jesus talked like that and was very emphatic in that direction, a lot of those people refused to continue to follow.
They didn't continue
to follow him.
Much like we have the congregations today. Dr. Davis, I'm going to read a brief word here on one article that I think is very fulfilling. He's talking about hunger for the Word. "In physical hunger, we feel discomfort or weakness caused by the lack of food, coupled with the desire to eat. In spiritual hunger, likewise, we crave food for the spirit, without which we cannot survive. It is true
what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Luke 4:4. Put it this way, this writer says, there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. God is spirit, and he is the only one who can satisfy the spiritual hunger for humanity. Then the writer concludes this. Now, let's look further in the Bible as to why humans cannot live without God. What it means to hunger for God. Who can satisfy our spiritual hunger, and how can spiritual needs be fulfilled except through Jesus Christ? Comment on that and make a statement in relationship to how, in my opinion, multitudes of so-called Christians today are trying to fill that God-shaped vacuum, that hunger, by things and not by the Word of God. What say you?
Well, if we consider what Jesus has already told us in his Word, Dr. Youngblood, he said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So if you are a Christian and you don't have the Word of God, the Spirit, first of all, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and then the Word of God abiding down on the inside, you are dead. Aside from receiving the Word, how else can you have spiritual life if you have not received the Word of God? So Jesus wouldn't have said that if it wasn't important for us to know. Now here's another supporting scripture that gives us that same idea. This is Colossians chapter 3. And this is verse number 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Emphasis is put there on the word.
That's right.
To give us spiritual life, to help us to overcome all of our problems. I don't know about you, but I believe you have, and Dr. Phelps as well. When trouble comes in my life many times, I recall some of those old hymns.
Amen.
Deep down in my soul.
That's right.
That the old saints used to sing a long time ago. A charge to keep I have, and a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fit it for the sky.
Amen.
There's many others, amen, that I can go. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Did Christ o'er sinners weep and shall our cheeks be dry? Let floods of penitential grief burst forth from every eye. Amen. There's so many uplifting
amen.
Hymns
amen.
And songs that comes to my heart and mind. But it all comes through memorizing the Word of God. And when I go back to the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, and look at all the things that all of those patriarchs and matriarchs went through. The scriptures say that they didn't love their life to the death, in other words, unto death here, but they were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. So what are you looking for today?
Amen.
I hope and pray, amen, that's where, amen, your vision is.
That's the key to it, absolutely.
Amen.
I'm reminded of those in the Bible, and it would take the balance of today for us to go through and hit just the high spots of those in the Bible that had a hunger for the Word. I'm reminded of Job in Job chapter 23, verse 10 and following. The scripture says, but he knoweth the way that I take, speaking of God. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held to his steps. His ways have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Amen.
That's going back to Job. He looked at the Word of God as being better than regular food that nourishes the physical body. But when we look at what is taking place in society today, we found that the Bible is not banned in America, but yet the Bible is not read in America today. The Bible is not looked at as being valuable today. Multitudes of Christians rarely attend church. In fact, I believe George Barner in the Barner Report said that out of all of the Americans that say they're saved, that they are Christians, only about 26% attend church on a regular basis. And in his survey, regular basis was once a month. And he called it a regular basis in his survey. That's where we are today. So that tells me that we need to understand there's a need for America to cherish, treasure the Word of God and be hungry for the Word of God.
Amen.
It is something that multitudes do not recognize the great need for. But I'm reminded of 2 Kings chapter 22. I find it absolutely delightful when you see in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 and following. And I'll not take time. Time will not allow us to do so. But when you read the scripture, it's talking about Joash, the 8-year-old boy that became the boy king. By the time he was 31 years old, the scripture says, verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David, his father. It's talking about David, his great-great-great-grandfather, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Then in verse 8, we find that he Hilkiah, the high priest, had authorized the remodeling of the temple, King Joash had, and says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. When you study the balance of that chapter 22 in 2 Kings, it's a fantastic study. Here is the picture. Here's the temple. It's in ruin. It's in decay. It's not being used. And so when they start remodeling the temple, they discover the Word of God in the church that's not being used, that's not being recognized, not being revered, not being read, not being studied, not being adhered to. And according to the scripture in verse 8, was very, very clear. They found the book. And when you read the balance of the text, verse 11, and it came to pass where, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Listen, the book, the Bible, lost in the house of God. But when it was rediscovered, you studied the balance of that chapter, when the book of the law, we call it the Word of God today, when it is rediscovered and when it is read, when it is cherished, when it is a hunger for it, it's read. The scripture says in the balance of that text, they wept, they prayed, and they praised God. They repented of sin, and they had revival. Had revival. We talk about the need for a revival in America today, and yet somehow, some way, we, i.e., the general populace, feel that we can have revival in our churches without the Word of God. I'm amazed when I watch some of these broadcast on television with these dudes with the jeans ripped apart and earrings in the ears and the nose and tattoos all over the body, look like a dropout from a soap factory, and they stand there and they do the rock and roll with the smoke machine and the fog machine, et cetera, going, and people jump up. I say that, you know, churches like that, you don't need to go to the gym on Monday. You've already had your exercise. But they call that worship, and it's about 45 minutes or so of that, and then 15, 20 minutes of what I call telling dead dog stories. Not exegeting the scripture, no expository preaching, and yet somehow, some way, it's called worship. We have devolved to the point in American culture, in our churches, there's no interest in the Word. There's no hunger for the Word. There's no desire to have the Word to be hidden in our hearts.
Amen.
I find it egregious and yet needful and necessary for us to find a pathway to getting back to the Word. I'm looking at an article talking about hunger for the Word. The concept of deep spiritual hunger for God's Word is a recurring theme throughout the Bible, reflecting the believer's desire for divine truth, divine guidance, communication, and communion with God. The hunger is not merely intellectual curiosity, but a profound yearning for spiritual nourishment and spiritual growth. Now, I must admit, I find that missing in American Christianity today. What is the answer? We've talked about the problem. We could go all day discussing the problem. What is the answer? I understand we need to find more that are saved and not just claiming to be Christian. But even with Christians, there's a mindset that everything is instant. You flip the switch, the light comes on. You press the button, and the pot of coffee produces a cup of coffee, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we've devolved to the point in Christendom and America where there's a mindset that, you know, preacher, tell me all you're going to say. Do it in just a few minutes. I've got another appointment. I've got to get out there in the jet ski. I've got to get on the boat, go fishing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Dr. Phelps, what is the answer?
Well, there needs to be a proper response to the hearing of the Word of God. There are many people today, even in our churches, in our cities, everywhere, who do not value the Scriptures. And perhaps they have simply backslidden. Mm-hmm. But in most cases, I think it can be a symptom of lack of growth, lack of spiritual maturity. If people do not mature in the faith, they become sickly, like you do physically. And they become immature, if you might say. If they revert to an immature state. The book of Hebrews was written on that very subject. The writer of Hebrews says, let's go on to maturity. And when people do not follow that admonition, then they turn aside into disinterest, lack of enthusiasm. They have no insight. They have no spiritual insight. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's one of the reasons why we should value the Scriptures.
Let me jump in for a moment, if you don't mind me interrupting your thought, Dr. Phelps. Recently, you authored and published a book, Is the Bible Trustworthy? And wonderfully well-written book. I recommend it, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to conservative.edu, go to the bookstore, and find that book, Dr. Neil Phelps, Is the Bible Trustworthy? And you touched on some of the manuscripts, et cetera, et cetera. Is it possible that the failure in America to have a hunger for the Word is that we have watered it down so much with so many of the aberrant translations, as it's called, that the real Word does not get to the heart of individual because they don't have the real Word. They've got paraphrases, but not the real Word. Speak to that for just a moment.
One of the things I made mention of in the book, Is the Bible Trustworthy, is the fact that many of our New Age versions today mm-hmm. have perverted the truth. Mm-hmm. And when the Word of God is perverted, it becomes ineffective. Mm-hmm. It does not transform the lives of those who hear. And one of the things that I have learned and I mentioned in that book is that in the manufacture of steel, they add certain elements, certain other elements to the iron to make it a good steel, a strong steel. When you add things like nickel or lead or copper or some other things, then it turns out to be something less than real steel. Mm-hmm. And same way with the Word of God. When it's polluted with the words of men, the thoughts of men, rather than the testimony of God, then it is not the Word of God.
Amen.
Many of the Bibles that are labeled the Word of God are not. And so it's important that we have the real thing.
Absolutely. Dr. Davis, let me turn to you for a moment. When we think on the subject of having a hunger for the Word, we already talked about the fact that so many today do not have the hunger for the Word. They may be lost, maybe, as Dr. Phelps said, backslidden, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But is it possible that we are at fault from the pulpits in our churches in America? And I say that because I find most preachers are concerned with numbers, nickels, and noses. So may I make a bold statement? get you to respond. I believe it's time pastors get back to preaching the word exegetically, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Forget about the numbers, nickels, and noses. God didn't call me to build a great church. God didn't call me to have the pews full. God didn't call me to make sure that there are mega millions of dollars worth of buildings. God called me to simply preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, et cetera, et cetera. What say you?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, yes, we have failed. I mean, there are many pastors who have not been called the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They have called themselves. God didn't call them. And it's evident because many churches suffer shipwreck right now today because of that. And so many things are out of order. But if we go to the book of Titus, this is what Paul commanded Timothy. He said, "For this cause, Titus 1:5, left I in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordained elders in every city as I had appointed thee." He told him to ordain, in other words, qualified elders, and he went on in the other verses preceding that, to explain what a qualified elder should look like.
Mm-hmm.
So we today, yes, we have failed. And even right now, many pastors fail to spend time alone with God. You have to shut off. The old people used to call it the hell of vision.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Because that's all, is pumping a bunch of garbage into your home.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And into your mind and heart as well, if you sit in there absorbing that stuff.
Absolutely. Let me wrap up our thoughts. I'll be preaching on this subject, Lord willing, Sunday morning. That is revival that takes place as a result of the word. Hunger for the word. The 8th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah's study, you find that they've already used 49,942 people, 52 days. The wall's been rebuilt. The gates have been restored. And they've already had the census in chapter 6 and chapter 7, the census of who can come into the wall. And then in the 8th chapter, Ezra the priest is asked to bring out the book. He brought the book out, the Bible, and read it, and they did that for 7 days, and it was all day, every day, preaching and teaching the word. And as a result of that, they had revival. They had revival because of the word.
Amen.
It takes the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, to bring about revival in our hearts, in our lives, and for the life of America. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've been blessed by the issue today that we've talked about. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.